Ellen McCutcheon is a journalist and researcher at RMIT ABC Fact Check and the editor of the Corona Check newsletter. I asked her all about reporting on facts.
How do you go about writing a story about a fact? How is it different from writing a more regular, traditional journalistic story?
So we don't start with a story as such. We don't start with a yarn or a kernel of something that we heard about and then investigate it from there. We start with something someone has said that is quite forthright. That's, you know, what makes it a claim, is that they've stated it as fact. And we go from there, and we take that claim and we dissect it in every way that we possibly can. Whether that is in traditional fact-checking something a politician has said or a public figure, or in, you know, our role in debunking misinformation, something that's been said online, it's a different form of journalism, but it is, I would say, it's still journalism at its heart.
I read a related article from 2018 by the Washington Post, and in that they said, a persistent complaint is that fact-checkers suffer from selection bias, in that they decide what to fact-check. Is that something you've experienced in your work so far in Australia?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we get accused of that all the time. Anytime we put out a fact check on a Liberal politician, we will have people in the comments saying, why don't you do Labor? And vice versa, anytime we look at Labor, someone will say, why don't you do Liberal? Or you're focusing too much on the Greens, or whatever it may be. But we are careful to try and be even when it comes to something like an election, because we know that there's claims being, you know, flying around on both sides. At other times, you have to take what is being said. So at the moment, you know, the Liberal Party or the coalition is in government. There's going to be more claims from them simply because they get more of the airtime and they get more of a chance to talk. And what they say has a bigger impact because they are in government. The Labor Party, of course, we check. And if they're making claims, we want to check them. But they're going to have less of an impact, but also they don't get as much chance to actually make the claim. So selection bias is definitely a real thing, and I think some fact checkers do fall victim to it, but for the most part, the accredited, you know, IFCN fact checkers, International Fact Checking Network, particularly the ones in Australia, are very good at leaving their biases at the door, not falling prey to that issue. Yeah.
You just led straight into my next question, which was, can you explain a little bit more about how RMIT ABC works with the IFCN?
Yeah, so the IFCN is a great little network. It's quite big now, actually, International Fact Checking Network. We do have to adhere to a code, so I'm not completely on top of the code of principles off my head, but there's things like, you know, going to the claimant for their source, always giving them a chance to tell you where they've got their information from. There's a whole bunch of rules, and they work really well, and we work quite closely with the IFCN too. So, you know, we're constantly talking to Baibars, he's the head of the organisation, and we talk a lot amongst ourselves as fact checkers. So there's Slack channels and there's email groups, there's Twitter groups where we all kind of get together and chat about what we're doing and share ideas. It's a really collaborative network, and there's no sort of, you know, if you read the Corona Check newsletter, you'll realize that we rely quite heavily on the work of other fact checkers.
So what was the idea behind the release of, I think it's a weekly newsletter?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Where did the idea for that come about, the need for it? Yeah.
Often what we do at Fact Check is slow, and we're the first to admit that we can be quite slow just because of the amount of research involved. And we knew that for the pandemic we had to be quick, and we had to be doing regular fact checking. This idea for the newsletter came from a place of, we just needed to get what we could get out that was factual information, we needed to do it. So I sort of just said, what about an email newsletter? We'd been thinking about an email newsletter for years and had never done it. And then this just sort of provided that push we needed, and within a week we had one out. And in the first couple of months it was like three times a week, and then we dropped it to one because we felt like we were covering the same ground a lot of the time. But it was important in those first few weeks to have those 3 times a week newsletters because there was just so much out there.